to stop you from buying things for yourself.
This lay don't thick like Liz Claiborne. Step over with deep trepidation. Lift up the top off the meat cooking station to discover my homie Todd. I said, oh my God, what grim facade do you meet me with in my wakefulness? I have too many stellas and they all was Christmas. I rise up in the morning with my squirrel assisted from the world insisted as I did this instant. Came up in heaven again, it's premature. If only you had that you would concur. Poke him with the tongs, you won't wake up. Put him on the lawn, raise about to cook the steak up. And this ain't no kind of motherly. You got to get the high degree on, fuzz on him on the field. Got all but they all used up, I mean he sizzled. Ain't nothing left but charcoal and gristle. My heart is fissile, I mean it could break like crystal. He never learns to whistle, don't break his cadaver up. What's the matter with your mind? He ain't a lawn clipping, he been knuckleheads since old times. Dig out the bat and helmet and the bat. We're all about to have a funeral and that's that. We'll do it after breakfast, we'll do it up proper. We'll drop all his ashes out the Airwolf copter. All singing up dirges, all spreading out blossoms. And it's gonna be freaking awesome. So they want to say a little something to the benefit of laying Todd's soul to rest. A cold regret, contemplated old regrets. He said, man, why he even got to do a thing like passed out on the barbecue? I'm trying to bring from recesses in my mind a word or two that would improve unkind. The line as he was with the less than angelic traffic and black talk, snack and psychedelics in that little ass man of his and drunk doing it, knowing what the right thing to do was but eschewing it. It did seem pretty probable, flames are audible. That's the duty that Todd will pull, not just in death, but in after that, like the bat out the H-E double vertical flat. But inbound in the case of this rodent, like when he got peeled out on and floated, or in fact when he got shanked in the joint. Telecausing me the ones that receive even a point to our shepherdly tending of his life's ending. I bet he's chilling at friendlies and gonna be back in the neighborhood shortly, discussing how awesome it is to be portly. Reporting the slant that he just got on with blister, drank till his wrist hurt, phoned the ghost of your sister. Dude, the bucket kicks through when he asked me, and this one wasn't like a masterpiece. So yes, we're depressed, but not drastic. Living at the corner of doom and catastrophe.
Where I'm living, it's hard to say. Wasting my time.
That was an amazing show. I was really, really surprised. But
you were surprised that it was amazing? Like, his live show has improved?
Yeah, like I've been telling anybody who listened. When we saw him at Penny Arcade, it really seemed like here's a guy who's been making music in his living room, who was really good at that, who was trying to figure out how to make that work live.
Right.
This was just, he had as much energy in the band was as together and proficient at, or prolific, proficient as Optimus Rhyme was. So he kicked out the jams.
Well, good. Who did he have on stage with him this time? Anybody?
Nobody I recognized. He didn't have that one dude who pretended to play our game.
I can never remember that guy's name. It's like a mispronunciation of some other word.
Apparently it's a couple of people he's living with and a couple of people that appear on the album, but he just had a bassist, a keyboardist, and a drummer.
That's cool.
So that was kind of cool. None of the beats were drum machine. They were all live.
Well, I can only hope that I have an opportunity to see him play live somewhere before Penny Arcade Expo.
Yeah. He seemed
after Penny Arcade Expo.
He seemed to be counting on.
Did you actually talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
And
I keep forgetting how soon Penny Arcade Expo is. It's like right after Comic-Con.
And I'm still back and forth on it. I would love to see Jonathan Coulter play. And I would love to see them, you know, finally figure out how to pull this thing off.
Will Wheaton is their keynote speaker, which I don't know what Will... I mean, sure, everybody there, like, oh, cool, it's Will Wheaton, but, like, I don't know what Will Wheaton knows about video games, you know?
He writes all the... some of the new game reviews and all of the Games of Our Lives reviews for the NEAV Club.
Oh.
And so he's... he has a really... a really good writing style for that kind of thing. Just not too snarky, but...
yeah.
It's kind of funny. He's got lots of personality. I guess he just plays video games nonstop, just cashes the next generation checks. And
yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess he doesn't really have to work ever, so he's just, you know, kind of... he's like, I don't know. He's what we would be if we had the freedom but not the responsibility that this project affords us. I guess, you know, we wouldn't just sit around beating off all day. We'd sit around beating off like half the day and then spend the other half working on our skills.
I feel like the holy grail that we could come up with is some kind of downloadable standalone just for the steady cash flow without having to do much of anything. I'd wanted that to be selling KOL familiars on Second Life, but I can't even run Second Life. I don't really want to.
God, I read this... I spent some time yesterday reading... I read this blog called Terra Nova, which is kind of a super pretentious, like, academic virtual world study blog. Like, Bartle is one of the main contributors to it, you know, and it's like, there's some interesting points in there sometimes, and there's, you know, there's links to cool stuff, but it's like, oh man, somebody got raped in Second Life. Oh man. So, basically, apparently, you have to, like, dock and undock, like, you equip your genitals.
Right,
in Second Life.
You buy them and equip
them. You buy and equip your genitals, right? And what happened was, some female avatar, I don't even know if it was a woman. You know what? I do know it was a woman, because only a woman would freak out so badly about something like this. She equipped her genitals, wandered away from her computer, and somebody walked up and had sex with her avatar while she wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
And that is, to listen to these people, every bit as serious as going into a dark alley behind a woman in real life and raping her.
Huh.
It was difficult to read. Like, it was... what I did like was the women saying, what the fuck? If you define this as rape, you are just trivializing rape in the real world, which doesn't seem to be, you know, the thing that you want to do. I don't know.
Thank God. Yeah, that's... I still don't understand this dichotomy. I understand that many people feel like they would rather be killed than raped, but I just don't understand why it's not a big deal to go into Halo and shoot somebody in the head when they're away from their computer, but to use your genital plug-in to interact with somebody else's genital plug-in in this fucking Sims on crack,
right,
is a big deal.
I mean, that was kind of the point of the cooler heads in the comments to the story, right? It was like, look, this is just griefing. This is equivalent to flaming someone in the forums, not raping them. Like, what the fuck? All you're doing is, you know, all you're doing is making it more likely to happen by giving it all this power.
Mm.
You know, so it's, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. And also, people were posting, like, look, if somebody, like, kept sending you private messages in a game that I ran that were like, OMG, I'm totally raping you, my dick is wet with your pussy blood,
right,
I would ban them, you know, which is what we do. Like, you know, I feel like we've got a pretty sane method of dealing with this stuff, even though, at least me, we're far from the most sensitive or politically correct people in the world, you know?
But we try, you know, we try to adjust and meet people halfway, at least.
Yeah. Well, you try. I just
try on your behalf.
Piss and moan and go work on something else.
So if Second Life is smart, the game itself will, the company itself will start selling chastity belts, which have, you know, random key gens that you then have to give to the other person before they can have sex with you.
Man, I was talking to
them. They'll sell them for $50 real and people will buy it.
Or they give you those, somebody, I don't even remember how this came up, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't a conversation about Second Life, but I was talking to the pretentious artist the other day, and he was like, talking about these anti-rape condoms that people are using in Africa with the like barbs on it. Presumably he found that on Boing Boing, because that, it sucks. It used to be that whenever he told me something interesting, I'd be like, oh, that must have been on NPR today. But now it has to either have been on NPR or Boing Boing, because he's discovered Boing Boing, and it's his homepage. Yeah. Everything on Boing Boing. So.
Yeah, there's the spring-loaded spike vagina trap, which is cool, actually. I think that's a really interesting and proactive way to deal with the problem.
Yeah.
As long as you've remembered that you have it in.
Yeah. I gotta imagine, I mean, I've never had a vagina.
Right.
But I have to imagine that anything large enough to contain a spring-loaded spike, you're gonna know that it's in there, right? I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It could be, I wonder if it's spring-loaded or if it's just, like, the opposite of a cat's penis, where it has barbs that are all facing upward,
yeah.
So you just kind of get it stuck onto you and
go
to the emergency
room. I had initially sort of conceived it as something where the barbs would allow you would just not allow you to disengage from the rape in progress. And I was like, that just seems like, oh, all right. Now not only are you still raping me, but you can't stop, and you're really pissed off about it. Like, it doesn't seem like the
best. No, it enables you to disengage from the rape, but not from the device.
Itself.
Yeah. There was some news story about a guy having to go to the emergency room in, you know, some African country and get it removed from his.
Oh man, imagine if you had just gone swimming in some dirty water and one of those weird barbed fish that swims up your urethra had gotten you, and then you raped somebody who was wearing one of those. It's like, what do I do? What do I do? I don't really want you to imagine that.
No, there's no chance of that not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, God, Naked Jew wants me to talk about 4chan and offensiveness, and I just don't want to.
I don't think I remember what 4chan is.
It's apparently a really nice place full of wonderful people that has one sub-forum that's kind of like the Fiat thing on Something Awful. And, I was pissed off at these people because Lala Lalore is in some kind of internet modeling competition, the prize for which is a cosmetics contract with this actual company who's looking for models. And so they set up a contest with voting with only an IP restriction on the voting. And, their servers got spammed, and then they put in a really weak CAPTCHA, and their server still got spammed, but the 4chan found this girl whose crime was being ugly and having pictures on the internet, and they'd been harassing her for a couple of years, chasing her from community to community, and they entered her into the competition using pictures from her MySpace and set up a bot to vote for her as often as possible.
Right.
It was like, yeah, not only is that mean to this girl, but that's also a shitty thing to do. Like, this contest doesn't matter to you, but these are people for whom this could be a career,
right.
A career being pretty.
Do you think she'll take the contract if they offer it? That'd be weird. I mean, if they were required to take, because, like, you know, like when John Linnell was like Time Magazine's Person of the Year, or whatever, like what?
No, they've got it set up so that once the top 10 are established, they get to pick from those. But, so I was getting a little frustrated with people who were like, no, it's hilarious that this girl is in this contest. And so, yeah, it would be if the girl put herself in the contest, then yeah, but otherwise it's a little too carry for me.
A little too carry? Like telekinetic.
Okay.
Telekinetic carry, not gym carry.
Right.
Not talking with your asshole carry. But not Burroughs talking with your asshole, but carry talking with your asshole. Yeah.
No, it's singing with your asshole for Burroughs.
But not Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Right.
Swinging from a vine by your asshole. But
did you ever read the William Rice Burroughs thing that somebody wrote?
No.
Which was like a Tarzan adventure written in William S. Burroughs writing style. Just basically a bunch of ape fucking.
Yeah, just like non sequitur gay rape.
So if they ever do a musical version of Naked Lunch, then Jim Carrey could play it. The guy who taught his asshole to sing.
Oh, wow.
We should, I guess we should get into questions.
let's see. A lot of, ACM says, what do you mean? Of course you could put a naughty bondage duck into the grimoire and call it a new item. I was saying we kind of run out of ideas for grimoire items because, you know, we were sort of out of, you know, novelty items to parody. And I was like, we don't have the luxury that Archie McPhee's does where they can just make a little rubber duck and put bondage gear on it and say that, you know, that's a new novelty item.
We could just make a little rubber duck, or have we?
People are seem to be excited about it, though. What else do novelty companies make?
We should just go through the McPhee catalog and steal some.
But that's the thing. The McPhee catalog, I feel, is just not... I mean, I feel like we should go through... Boy's Life, like an issue of Boy's Life from the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't done the... No, we have. We've done the joke gum.
I think I have an old... No, not anymore. Yeah, I do, actually. Have a couple of comic books that are old enough to have that page in the back.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to look.
Yeah, Riff's guessing that there are scans of that kind of thing somewhere. Maybe somebody who knows that... You know what? If only there had been one of those things in the back of Bum Rape Island, we could kill so many birds with one stone.
So
I still have to read it to find my favorite sentence. I'm so sad that that's skipped out.
Do we not just want to do a regular rubber duck that you can squeeze and make it squeak?
Oh, yeah, we could do a rubber duck that you squeeze and make it squeak. It could have some Bert and Ernie... gay roommate reference.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, no.
Bondage duck.
What do you think?
Won't you come?
What do you think about Bert and Ernie being gay?
They don't exist from the waist down, though. I think it was platonic.
It's like make out.
Don't you think? Well, I'll give you that. Sure.
Oh.
Batman, straight as a motherfucking arrow.
That Robin, though.
Straight as the Green Arrow.
Robin was a constant temptation. Thorn in his side.
Mm. I think that
means... Oh, hey, speaking of superheroes, have you been watching Lore's animated ratings things?
No, I haven't. I'm usually listening to music or something when I load it up and go, oh, fucking video, I'm not watching it.
Oh, well, they never start automatically. They're always YouTube links with the actual start button. But no, like, you keep up on his stuff, like, don't you?
Yeah.
Read the, like, yeah. I think that his video ratings are actually. I really hope that he keeps doing that. I'd like for him to do it with original stuff, but even seeing ones that I've already read, which is the one that he did like just today or yesterday, was the one where he does the. Nemesis of the Justice League or whatever they're called, the Bizarro, like how he's only able to order breakfast at McDonald's after 10:30 a.m. like, which was one of my favorite things ever from Crunching Shuttlecocks.
My favorite was he makes internet posts about how the iMac has too many
floppy drives. He changed that. He changed that to him criticize the iPod Nano for having too many screens, which. I don't know. I mean, it did make it relevant.
Right.
You know, but it was... I think it would be just as funny if we had not seen the old one, right?
Yeah.
Like, people now who are... People under 20, like, don't understand. We're like, oh, yeah, it was a big deal when the iMac didn't have a floppy drive. They're like, what the fuck? Was it a big deal when the buggy whip manufacturers all went out of business? Like,
and just to think that an iMac was... looked basically like a TV DVD unit rather than the flat screen monitor that's slightly thicker than a flat screen monitor.
Yeah. I always hated those. Especially the laptops. The laptops were so ugly and just unwieldy.
Oh, the iBooks
the first like
colored shell.
Colored generation ones, yeah. Oh, Balance Tour says, Jake, could you take a look at running your own podcast feed for the JMS show? I like to listen to it on my commute, and the straight MP3 versions have a couple of problems. Primary problem is that the files don't save listen-to markers like audiobooks, and I don't know which ones my computer has actually downloaded. The old podcast was cool, but I understand the person running it hasn't had time, and the replacement seems unreliable. Thank you. If... if somebody else was willing to update it, I'm pretty sure that I could create a podcast just by creating an XML document on Asymmetric, right? If somebody will teach me how to do that so that I can just do it automatically,
mm-hmm.
right, by having it generate the XML based on the files that are there the same way that it generates the index page based on the files that are there, then I will do it. My problem with it is that part of what Stargazer did, I didn't realize she wasn't doing it anymore,
right.
But part of what she did was strip the music out of the files so that there weren't, you know, because like once it's up on iTunes, it's, you know, subject to some scrutiny that it isn't if it's just a direct download thing, right? So she stripped the music that we play out of the files. I mean, we're not going to stop playing unlicensed music on the show, and if I'm responsible for stripping the songs out of our shows, then it's just going to take even longer for them to go up there.
Yeah.
I mean, the one advantage that the podcast had was that the people who were recording it had a usable version of it without going through the steps that I have to go through, including, you know, getting around to it, because they, you know, did get around to it. If somebody wants to, let's say somebody who knows PHP wanted to give me a sample PHP script to generate a podcast based on the output of a directory listing for a directory full of MP3s on Unix, then it would just work and there would already be a podcast and that's fine. But I hate the word podcast.
Okay. You should write about that on your blog.
On my blog.
Your hating of podcasts. The MP3s will save listen to markers like audiobooks do if you... I don't want to get into a discussion about iTunes, but that's one of the properties you can set in MP3s in iTunes. They say, this is an audiobook, save listen to markers like it's an audiobook, and then...
Well, really, what are listen to markers? I guess I don't...
That means when you, like, if you listen to an hour of it, and then you switch to music, and then you come back to it, it'll remember that you had listened to an hour of it already.
Your iPod will.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be useful for me, for the way that I use my iPod. Although, what would be even more useful for me is if it would save a marker in the file that I was listening to when I went to sleep.
Right.
So that...
But how would it know?
So, I know. So the next time I wanted to listen to something as I was going to sleep, it would pick up the last thing that I hadn't heard.
There's probably a little peripheral to plug into the port in the bottom and then, like, lick and stick to your forehead that
okay.
monitors your brain waves.
Evan the Sarcastic says, over the last couple of months, I've heard you guys talk about making a space game eventually, and I have one question. What will happen first, the space game or NS15? I'm guessing that we will have published at least one other game before NS15. There is no specific plan for NS15 at all. Like, we were talking about it today a little bit. It will be a lot less of a big deal than NS13 is, because all of the stuff that we're doing now with the mechanics, we're doing with a 15 level game in mind. So they're just, you know, after NS13 and the period of, you know, rebalancing and tweaking things following NS13, the game is going to be as balanced as it's ever going to get. And then, yeah, I'm going to be excited there's some neat stuff that I'm excited about doing that we've got in the pipe for KOL post NS13, but that's not going to take up all of my time, and I'm excited about getting to work on something else.
Hmm. And one of those things should be a standalone game that we can put up and people can just pay us money and download it, and we can ignore it.
I don't know about a standalone game, but even another static donation-supported web-based RPG that actually had some good content but didn't have the expectation of it, you know, being constantly updated and tweaked. If it was just done when we put it out there, it could just sit there, and it would just require support, and it would be another game that we'd made for people to play for a while and pay for if they like it, you know, play it for free if they don't, and, you know, it's just there.
Yeah, I'd love to play around with something like the, like, Puzzle Quest or, like, the Word Worm Adventures.
It's just that, well, that requires us, yeah, I know, and I'm excited about that. That requires us to go so far out of our expertise in terms of actually implementing it. Like, I'm confident in our ability to design it and to make it funny and to make it, you know, like, to decide what it looks like and have it be cool, but it's just, yeah, at that point, you know.
Well, what we can do at Con 4 is, midway through the barbecue when everybody's slightly hammered, just keep walking up to people and saying, hey, do you know how to do Flash? And the first person that says, yes, I'm really good at Flash, we hit over the head and we chain to a computer. And
right. And then it turns out they were lying. That's the problem.
Well, then they can do other stuff. They can be our maid. Naked Jew says to tell you that he will gladly take the jigshow.asymmetric.net MP3s and strip the music from them. There was a couple of weeks where my show ended up in like four fragments.
Yeah.
And he took them and fixed them for me.
I have the
2 weeks.
I have the tool that he uses for that. Now he told me what piece of software he uses, and it's great.
Hmm.
It would replace the other tool that I use if it would allow you to stitch one file into another file, because it also converts bit rates when you're stitching stuff. So what I have to do is make a little file of silence and stitch that to whatever file I want to convert the bit rate on. But yeah. Well, I mean, it's doing that, coordinating that is going to be weird, you know, I mean, that's that, just having to coordinate with somebody is going to make it harder and make it take longer, right? So, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hogulus asks, where does King Ralph the 11th go after you free him? Given how long he's been in there, I'm guessing to go to the bathroom, and that takes as long as the Austin Powers scene where he has to go to the bathroom. Then he probably has a cigarette, and then he goes to visit people who he hasn't seen for a while, and, you know, he's just going to walk the earth like Kane in Kung Fu until you ascend and the monsters stop attacking people. That's all I have to say about that.
Hogula says, how would you feel about making it so antique armor / spears, instead of breaking outright mid-battle, crack and fall apart when the fight ends? It's just that right now, the risk of suddenly finding yourself without pants, a hat, a weapon, or a shield is far too great to make up for the good stats of the antique stuff. But the stats of the antique stuff are way too good for the area that it drops in, and that's the trade-off. I mean, you'll be able to get equipment that's that good as normal equipment drops post-NS13. Like, you know, there is just more powerful equipment than there is anywhere else in the game in the level 11 and 12 quests. So, you know, you can take a little bit of risk and get equipment that's way out of depth for where you're fighting, or you can not and don't. ACDR says, did I hear correctly on Jick's last radio show? Are you going to make monsters stasis us? As a filthy stasiser, I can say, that's awesome! I think we had something that was kind of like that. When NS13 hits, people that are in the middle of the Naughty Sorcerer's quest are going to be reset to the bottom of the tower. But then, people that are level 11 will still be able to do the Naughty Sorcerer's quest at level 11? No. They won't be able to do it until they're level 13.
Yeah.
I might have misspoken.
There's only a small little quest that they have to do before that, though. Yeah. Before they hit level 13, if they're level
11. Yeah.
There's not much.
We're imagining that to get from level 11 to level 13, it's probably going to take, like, 6 or maybe 7 turns.
Yeah, 5 if you have an OAF.
Yeah. Parse says, hey, the Doppelshifter doesn't seem to be morphing into a good fella. Is that intentional or just not gotten around to yet? Just not gotten around to yet. I should really make a item of the month checklist for when we put the new one in.
Yeah. Oh, you made the Cinco de Mayo items untradeable?
Yeah, because they were supposed to be, because making them, with them tradable, it totally broke the logic, and you could get more than one of everything. Like, you could just keep farming the sombreros, and that was a fuck-up on my part. And it's sorry it was like that for so long. did that stuff, and then it was like, oh, wait, it's Cinco de Mayo, and we haven't eaten anything yet, so we're going to go to dinner. And then I came back a few hours later, because I was thinking about waiting until rollover was over to, you know, make sure that everything was working right and that everything was the way it was supposed to be. But then it's a long rollover, so if I'm waiting until rollover is over, I'll be here for two more hours, and everything will be closed.
Yeah, that was my fault, too. When I put them in, I think I just left the tradable flag up because I thought that the other ones were tradable, like the traffic cones and stuff, without bothering to check. So, that was entirely my deal. So I figured, like, everybody can only get one if you want to give yours away. That's your funeral, but I don't mind not seeing them traded either. It's funny that the way that got brought to your attention was people saying, hey, we can't mall search these. That's what you get for reporting things like that, kids.
Hogula says, I've never gotten a marmot / tiki necklace clover from a choice adventure. Are you sure they dropped then? I don't remember ever telling you that they did. I don't think that they do, actually. So, no, I'm not sure. Apple Jordan says, if they were tradable, how much do you think the stainless steel and plexiglass items would be worth in the mall? You know, I don't have any idea. I mean, given that it takes, a few days to get one? I don't know, what's something equivalent to that? I would think that it would cost the amount of meat that you could reasonably farm in, say, a week.
Hmm.
So, I don't know, a million-ish?
Yeah, probably.
Hogula says, new Caballero Saw Sphere, please. These half-assed nerfs with the sole intention of making stasis more of a pain in the ass aren't doing anything but making the leaderboards even more restricted to those willing to spend inordinate amounts of time on the game. Yeah. Look, we've been through all this in the forums. I did not commit a bunch of half-assed nerfs to stasis. I fixed a bug, and then I made a smart-ass comment about how, as an added bonus, it also makes stasis more of a pain in the ass. But it makes stasis more of a pain in the ass because one of the ways that people were stasising more easily was by exploiting bugs. So, you know, it's not okay to get pissed off when I fix a problem with the code.
I think there's the assumption that a lot of what we do is reactionary rather than planned. Especially with the NS13 stuff, like all these little tweaks are not just, oh, we should fix this, oh, man, we should fix this over here. There's a whole state of game that is going to be when NS13 comes around, and that's towards what we are working.
This one really was like that, though, because I was just like, you know, I was sitting there, and I was like, well, you know, I want to work on, I was thinking about the dev tracker, and I was like, oh, you know, this is cool, because now people will know on ColdFront whenever I fix something. In fact, why don't I look at the forums and see if there's any bug reports on the front page of the forums, and I can post in there that I fixed them, and then everybody will be happy, and, you know, something will just take 5 minutes, and then, you know, oh, weird, there's a bug with pickpocketing, where if you accidentally click outside of combat and then come back in, you can't pickpocket that round. Oh, fuck, that's because all of these things that weren't supposed to be incrementing the round counter were incrementing it because I wrote the code wrong that's supposed to do that. So all of those got fixed at once, and a bunch of those were things that people would do to make stasis easier. Yeah, so, yeah. Hogula says, will the price of soda water be lowered with NS13? The reason people stasis is that, on average, getting hit once while one has Habanero Sauce Sphere on gives the player 3 MP, which costs a little over 50 meat if paid for with soda water. You know, it's really weird to me. Soda water was never supposed to be the primary source of MP in softcore or hardcore. And what needs to happen is that Docalactics needs, at its base level pre-quest, to be cheaper than soda water, because it's kind of retarded, the practice of buying soda water just to use it and get MP back. Soda water was in there because soda water needed to go somewhere, because it rounded out the cocktail crafting thing. The only reason it gave MP at all is because it was carbonated. And, you know, so it's not like, soda water is not the mechanism that we created for, you know, regaining MP in the absence of other mechanisms. It's just happens to be the cheapest way of doing it that anybody found, because it doesn't cost any turns, it just costs meat. And so, you know, I don't know that it is really... I don't know that it is... I don't know that there's any actual pressure on us to fix the situation with soda water, because the situation with soda water is, you know, one of those things that's just sort of outside the scope of the actual design. So what I do want to do is I want to make it better. I want to make it a better investment of me to buy MP Restores all at once at Doc Galactics than it is to buy soda water and use it one at a time, because that's just, it's inflating people's inventories for no reason. It's you know, rather than there just being one simple database transaction for people to trade meat for MP.
I always think it's interesting, though, that the people who do the stasis thing, the stasis, you know, like the video games the kids are playing,
right.
The people who stasis are so sure that everyone else that plays the game does it too. So if something makes it harder for them to do it, that's something that's going to cause the game, the company, to go under, because everybody plays the game this way, and we've just fucked it up for everybody. I would be willing to bet that it's a fraction of the percentage of the player base that actually has the know-how, the skills, and the patience to do it.
Yeah, but the trouble is, they're the ones dominating the leaderboards, you know. So like, they're the ones that people pay attention to. They're, you know, it's like, Only a very tiny fraction of the population is, like, you know, good enough at professional basketball to do it for a living, but how much attention do they get compared to, you know, the average person who is not a professional basketball player?
Right.
Hogula says, to put a little perspective on this, there aren't even any monsters that drop 50 meat until one hits level 5 and goes to the Nobgoblin Treasury, much less give enough meat to get anywhere near what stasis provides. I realize you don't want people running every buff they can all the time, but the current situation with soda water is ridiculous. Another reason why. Let's take Leash of Linguini, a buff that provides plus 5 pounds of familiar weight. Would you consider the game broken if people ran only Leash of Linguini and didn't do anything else that cost MP throughout their entire run? Fuck the math up on that. Aborted example aside, though, the price of soda water is ludicrous. The elite outfits drop rates are too low for the Knob Lab store to be of much benefit, and the White Citadel quest comes too late. Well, you know... Either we make the alternative sources of MP so good that they're always worth the risk to unlock them, or we make them so bad that they're never worth the risk to unlock them, or we keep them somewhere in the middle so you use them if you get them, but you don't waste too many turns trying, and that's what I like to call playing a game. You know, and... Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you know, soda water... I understand, like, I cannot believe how terrible the MP yield from this soda water is. Well, you know, can you believe how terrible the MP yield from strawberries is? Because soda water is the same as strawberries, the way we designed it, right? It just happens to give you some MP because we noticed it was carbonated. Also... 50 meat, there aren't any monsters that drop enough meat to give you one soda water per fight until level 5. Maybe you shouldn't have enough meat to buy one soda water per fight until past level 5. It's level goddamn 5. If you had to play the first 4 levels of every run without all your buffs on, it's not going to fucking kill you. You might actually see some of the vast amounts of content that the game has at the low levels that everyone just skips now. So, you know, yes, the amount of MP that you can actually get in the game compared to the amount that you can get by stasising is very, very low. That's because you're not supposed to have as much MP as you have when you stasis, because that's not the game that we designed.
Every time with something like this, it makes me wonder how anybody designs an RPG and puts it out and steps away from it. Because it's the game as it is played is so different from the game as we would imagine it being played, that the only reason it's continued to be a good game and to get better is because we pay attention and we change it
all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing about, you know, say, Baldur's Gate is that the class of people who just starts a new character in Baldur's Gate, plays all the way through it, and then immediately starts over again and plays all the way through it, and then immediately starts over again and plays all the way through it, is not their sort of primary, you know... Like, the people who care about that game tend to have played it once. The people who care about our game tend to have played it 1,000 times, or a couple hundred times or whatever. And you know, as people don't necessarily... I mean, a single-player game especially, why would you bother trying to totally optimize it unless it was for, like, a speedrun stunt video when you could just cheat? I mean, if you were going to do that, you know, if you wanted infinite MP, would you figure out an incredibly tedious way to exploit some game mechanic to get infinite MP, or would you look up on the internet what to type into the console to get infinite MP and type it? You know, it's... Macaronis says
On an unrelated note, Spaz Attack says, Jake, I've been searching for a few weeks now to find a recording of the Thinking About Your Axe Wound and can't. Can you point me to where I can find said song? I know you can find it in Flash form. I don't know where there's an MP3 of it, but rathergood.com/hedgehogs will...
I don't remember where I found that MP3. I think I just did my Google trick. :\index:\axe:\wound:\mp3 is what I would do if I was looking for it now. Let's see if that works. No, it doesn't. So...
Yeah, they have an MP3 downloading section of Rather Good, but it doesn't have anything in it. So, yeah, I don't know where you would find that.
Macarona says, is it just me, or does the picture of Ronald from the observatory look like there's a zone on the moon? Oh, that's just you, man. There's actually a zone in a sound stage.
Okay. If what you believe we put a zone on the moon. Zone on the moon.
What was I
reading? Cool.
I was reading something that was like a parody of YouTube comments. And it was like what would have happened if the moon landing had been released on YouTube? What would the comments have looked like? One of them was insisting that the moon landing was faked in a sound studio on Mars. Yeah, I think it was XKCD. Yeah. Mr. Bob says, how about a counter in the raffle house that tells you how many tickets you've already bought that day? How about go to your inventory and see how many tickets you have?
Well, don't make them go to their inventory. Bastard.
Macaronis had also said, with lots of people complaining about a stasis nerf, perhaps it would be prudent to get that MP regen function working for all adventures spent. There are tons of ways to get MP regeneration for all the adventures that you spend. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see people making decisions about whether or not they should get MP regen items instead of whatever other equipment they would be wearing, because that would allow them to continue to run their buffs. You know, having a choice between wearing the most powerful equipment possible and not having all of your buffs, or wearing weaker equipment that has MP regen built into it and having more buffs.
And in the beginning, we had way too much MP going around, and yeah, as illustrated by the buff bot that, what, buffed every player in the game.
Yeah, and Muzzy's giving everybody thousands of turns of spheres.
It's a resource. It ought to be something that you have to resource manage. That's part of playing a game like this. Play the game. What do you think about this whole 8-bit zone complaining that's been going on?
What 8-bit zone's been complaining?
I went off on that a bit last week because Hogulus and a few others were saying that you have to spend too long in there to get the key. It's tedious. The only reward for being in there is the key, because you don't want to make potions and stuff with your pixels, because that'll mean you don't get the key fast enough. And that there should be a couple of drops in there, like combat items or something, that are already assembled, so you can get something out of it besides just pixels. And my response was, shut up. It's 25. It took me 25 turns when I tried to and was actually paying attention. I never found it taking very long. Somebody said, well, you know, 25 turns with a one run through it is hardly a scientific way to go about it. And to which I said, you're right, I don't keep charts and graphs, but
right.
If it can be done in 25 turns, that means it could take between 25 and 100, and I don't think that's too long to stay in a zone.
What I would not be averse to is, you know, say, solving this perceived problem by adding some content. You know, let's say that there was some combat item that you could make that didn't require any white pixels.
Well, the other thing is you can make white pixels out of the colored ones.
Oh, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it doesn't help to have more assembled stuff, is what Hoggulus was postulating. Hoggulus postulation. What doesn't make sense, though, is the way they said to fix it is to add, like, a couple of choice adventures in there that would give you equipment or combat items or whatever.
That's kind of not how that zone works. I mean,
yeah, but the other thing is then people would complain that we've reduced the amount of times you encounter a monster, therefore reducing the total amount of pixels you can get per X turns. So you know, you can't win for losing with it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I could see doing is maybe having like a Koopa shell that drops intact from the Koopa turtle. You know, little things like that that, you know, I'd key swing to make key swing kebabs or something like that. So occasionally you get an entire chunk of
an item. Feature. Then people would be pissed that we couldn't break it into its component pixels.
Right. an unspooky guy who lives in the woods.
After NS13, you will feel a lot less raped by having to spend 25 turns in a particular zone in order to beat the game.
Yeah, you're right. You know, this problem is just that it's possible to go through it so fast.
Yeah, I mean, if let's say that it always took 25 turns, right now, that's what, like, you know, one, that's like 10% of your run spending this one zone. I mean,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you could be spending those turns in the gallery, for Christ's sake!
You know, as much as I've railed against the gallery, this run I actually used it.
Yeah, and
well, because this run I'm doing complete open softcore, so I can use my entire inventory. So whenever I get a quest, I immediately complete it with the stuff in my inventory.
Right.
And having found the one path through the maze that gets to my main stat getting buffed and made it go a lot quicker. Facilibon suggests the way to solve the problem is to make it so you can no longer make white pixels, which is how it used to be, and then all your red, blue, and black pixels would actually be worth something.
Yeah.
Whereas then it would take three times as long to get through it. But at least you wouldn't be wasting. You can make red pixel potions and blue ones.
Right, or what we could do is we could remove the ability to turn, you know, red, green, and blue into white, and we could reduce the number of white that it took to make a key.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we make it more interesting by removing content. I don't know.
Well, just a functionality. I think when we started, you couldn't make white pixels, and we only did that because, I don't know why, but we were married to having the white, the digital key have that many pixels.
Yeah.
So we just made it easier to get the white ones. We're going to have to take a break because I have 44 ounces of cola in my bladder.
Alrighty.
So we're going to take about 10 minutes and we'll be right back.
Thick and thin, he will wait until
back.
We're back.
We are back. Don't call it a comeback. And I don't really know what that quote means, but I really like it. You know, like, don't call it a comeback, because I guess it's because I never left.
Uh-huh.
But, and some Ice Cube thing. I don't know how the rest of the song even goes. I just like the way it sounds.
Maybe it's like bringing Sexy back?
I don't know.
Are you going to bring Sexy back? Nah, she always gets drunk and rolls over the wrong way. You know, as though Sexy back was somebody that you were bringing to a party. And,
right.
You know, nobody likes her.
Sexy back Wingledank, Engelbert Humperdinck. No, go back one.
That guy's funny when he doesn't sing.
It was funny hearing you complain about that and then listening to old radio shows where you're listening. Let's see, I'm loading up the page. I'm reading down the page. Can't find anything to read. That was a good song.
Oh, yeah? That's great. Hogula says, now that hamstrings aren't NPC items, shouldn't they have an enchantment? And shouldn't they no longer be jewelry crafting components? Waluigi! I like Waluigi. He's my favorite character in every game that he exists in.
He disturbs me.
Is he in... he's not in Smash Brothers, is he? Or is he?
No. Melee doesn't even have Wario in it. Oh, yeah, it does have Wario, but I don't think it has Waluigi. I pulled out Smash Brothers the other day. Just had an urge to play.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, it's entirely
Smash Brothers is
and
bullshit.
Hard to tell what's going
on. And if you like Smash Brothers, you like stupid bullshit.
Yeah. I still think that the... I mean, clearly that Mario Party strip is from the perspective of someone who has just lost a game of Mario Party and really cares about it. And that's not something that ever happens to me because I don't really care who wins or loses. I enjoy playing the game.
Right. That's easy for you to say because you always win, asshole. But no. What bothers me about it is not, you know... What bothers me about it is not that, like, you know, I'm totally competitive and goal-oriented. It's that playing a game where progress just doesn't get you anywhere because the game just antagonistically rips it out from under you all of the time, that's less fun than just not playing a game.
See, I don't feel like
Blank
Mario
Blank
Party
White
does
Cards
that,
is fun. The blank white cards would not be fun if you were always playing with a robot who just set all your funny cards on fire before you got a chance to show them to anyone.
I find, though, that even Mario Party 7, where people were bitching about how much Bowser shows up, it's never that big of a deal. And it never really decides the game.
I mean, I feel like every time I've played Mario Party, I've ended up in last place because of some bullshit. And not because... I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Glalnoob says, my friend told me of this guy who owns a live venue in Britain who brought this electronic artist over from America, and he was setting up two laptops. The guy was an electronic geek, so he wanted to see what he was doing on two laptops. It was iTunes. What do you think of this? It depends on what he was doing with them. Because iTunes has a... like crossfaders and beat matchers and stuff. If he put together an entire playlist that was his set, and then he just pretended that he was doing stuff on the laptop, then yeah. Apparently there were some DJs that got in trouble and will never work in this town again for doing that with just regular CDs. They just put their entire set with all the scratches and fading and mixing on it, and then slide that into somewhere, and then get two turntables to fuck around with them.
I don't think that would bother me at all if I found out that that's...
Well, if you hire a DJ, you're hiring somebody who has some kind of prowess at, you know, creating live music. You could just as easily just buy the CD from the dude and not have anybody stand there playing with turntables that aren't plugged in.
Well, okay. I mean, okay, would you have felt, if you had Milli Vanilli sing at your wedding, would you have felt, you know, like 6 months later when you found out that you were entitled to your money back that you paid them? I mean, that, like, as far as anybody knew at the time, they were being entertained by those guys, you know? Like, I don't know. I mean, I
don't know. I still listen to a couple of Milli Vanilli songs because if you like the genre, they were actually good songs. It was just that there was... It was like the fat, ugly guy who used to be in the Commodores or something who was doing the actual singing. But I yeah. If I went to a concert and the whole thing was lip-synced, I would feel a little bit ripped off.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would just sort of never go to it. I mean...
I wouldn't go to a concert.
I don't go to random concerts. Yeah. So, I mean, it's... yeah, I don't think so either, but... I don't know. I think sometimes, you know, there was the Aphex Twin concert where Richard D. James or whatever his name is just put disc sander plates on two turntables and just did an entire set of just the record needle scraping against sandpaper and then that was the show. And I would have left that show like, okay, you know. I feel like I would have left the Andy Kaufman reading the entirety of The Great Gatsby thinking like, I'm glad that I saw that.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to I was ripped off, you asshole. But I will fully admit that I am not average in that capacity.
Yeah, you didn't like the Modest Mouse thing where he was doing much of the same thing, just kind of making a lot of random noise instead of playing a song.
I think he was taking it seriously. I don't think he was doing that as a, hey, I wonder if I can, you know, as a piece of performance art, get away with just screaming for half an hour. I don't know.
I would have sat through the entire reading of The Great Gatsby, because, you know, I've never read it, and I gotta have some respect. Like, I've been reading to Jess to read her to sleep, and she has trouble sleeping, and I read, like, 20 pages of A Wrinkle in Time last night, and my voice was cashed. Huh. I can't imagine how he would have managed to read through that entire book.
I could have read The Great Gatsby, and I probably should have, but I couldn't get through it.
Because he didn't want you to.
Fucking asshole.
I still haven't even cracked the cover on The Great Gatsby. I don't own it. I've never done anything.
You can borrow my copy. It's not doing me any goddamn good. They says, would you consider a custom avatar form that depicted Petrelicest? Clanny wants to know, okay, fix by. What's Petrelicest?
I don't know.
It's somebody. Somebody on the show Heroes. Anyway, if you want to know what kinds of custom avatar forms that I would accept, you can look at the guidelines. Because those are there for a reason.
There are some additional unofficial guidelines on the forums as well. Yeah. And some of the people who have taken to designing custom avatars for people have gotten some feedback from you and codified that into what generally will get accepted and what won't.
Right.
Which we're not bound to, but that's not a bad jumping off point.
But in general, somebody who is going to make animated avatars and knows from quality well enough to know what we're going to accept, you know, they're going to get hired by other people to do it, so they don't have to give people guidelines.
Well, just the little things like not having stuff break the frame and not using, like, a straight line generator on whatever image generating tool you're using.
Porcupine Spader, who is James Spader's considerably less friendly brother.
Right.
Are there any plans to reinstate smithing white belts, or is it withheld until NS13? Those weren't supposed to be there in the first place. They weren't ever supposed to be made with that belt buckle because the level differences in where you get those items is so divergent. It is withheld until the next Turtle Tuesday. I don't know when that's going to be.
The Pretender says, regarding the candy hearts, I wanted a heart of gold so I can let it shine. I wanted a heart of gold so that I could let it shine. I think you should occasionally be able to get a heart of gold in the mines, because Neil Young is a miner for a heart of gold.
Searching for it.
Yeah. And he was a miner for a heart of gold. I don't know, I've never listened to that entire song because he sounds so much like a Muppet doing some kind of helium-induced thing that it's hard to get through, but...
Yeah, I don't like Neil Young. I don't understand why everybody thinks that Neil Young is the greatest thing since... Yeah. Tom Waits or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You don't understand why people think Tom Waits is the greatest thing since Neil Young either.
I mean, the thing is, I think that Tom Waits is probably like Leonard Cohen, right? If somebody else did a cover of a Tom Waits song, I would be like, wow, that is a really good song.
Right.
Like, you know, because I just find Leonard Cohen, like, I understand he's a talented songwriter, right? But I don't like listening to him. Like, Paul Simon is a talented songwriter that I like listening to, you know? And I think the fact that Paul Simon has enjoyed popularity throughout his entire career and Leonard Cohen has not, he's only popular really among musicians, basically, is a testament to the fact that Paul Simon actually sounds good when he makes music. You know,
well, it's like if you had never had a beverage before and your first beverage was gin, you might say to hell with beverages. But, yeah, like if you'd never had any alcohol before, say, and the first thing you had was gin, you'd probably say to hell with it. But if you start with, a Sex on the Beach or something, you can work your way up to being able to appreciate the taste of gin. Like, because Tom Waits is a really good songwriter, I got into him by listening to people cover him who had really pleasant voices.
Right.
But then when I heard him singing these songs after I'd gotten used to his voice, the voice fits the song so well that I prefer his versions to covers.
What I'm specifically thinking of is Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, right? Like,
right.
Fucking beautiful song, but his version of it, I don't actually mind his voice, right? I like a lot of his songs. I can listen to a lot of his songs and be like, yeah, this is a good song, you know? And it's like, you know, there's some emotional content to the way that he sings it, and it's like he's not a bad singer, you know. But the instrumentation is what drives me fucking crazy in Hallelujah. You know, it's like a just sort of bad song from the 70s. Mm-hmm. It would be like if he recorded it today and it was like a dance song. You know, that wouldn't make the song any worse. It's just that 20 years from now, it's going to sound like ass because it's just this sort of really dated instrumentation. Or if it was like, I don't know exactly the style of music, but what is that song on Mink Car that's got the horns? It's like sort of elevator music.
Mink Car.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like that. You know what? Like,
yeah, that's a dated...
It's such a dated style. And so is the... I don't know. My wife says the same thing about you can't always get what you want. Which I don't see that, but I can see how somebody might, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how she would feel about what's the Take a Walk on the Wild Side?
Because
that's kind of a dated style.
It's got the Motown singers in it, which makes it a little dated,
right? Which is the part of, you know, that sound in like the kind of choir is what bothered her about. You can't always get what you want. I don't know if she'd heard covers of that before, right? And so didn't know that was the original or whatever. You know, it's weird. I heard the cover of Hallelujah like watching House. I had never heard it, and I downloaded both versions of it and listened, and I'm like, oh wow, this is a Leonard Cohen song. I bet that's really good. And I'm like, no, it's really not. And then first time I'd ever heard it was like a week ago. Mm-hmm. And then the day before yesterday, I was in this art supply store in San Diego, and they were playing it over the.
Which version was it that you got?
I don't remember. Some guy.
Rufus Wainwright?
No.
Was it a high voice or kind of a mid-range voice?
Kind of a mid-range voice.
Because Jeff Buckley does it.
Jeff Buckley, yeah.
Yeah, he has a beautiful voice. I'm sure you heard it in Shrek, though.
Huh. I don't remember any of the music from Shrek. Yeah.
That's the Rufus Wainwright version.
Rufus Wainwright's one of those guys that you are all wet for,
no,
right?
Yeah, I don't mind him.
Oh.
He kind of sings like
thinking
he has
of
cheeks full of cotton.
I'm thinking of Mason Jennings.
Mason Jennings.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And Warren Zevon.
Yes.
Worfus Genwright. that would be like the Star Wars universe. So that was a lengthy aside.
Right.
Anyway, that's
what I've been missing is the tangents.
Enemy Lasagna says, are you going to give us any clues on what you plan to do to make clan warfare less pointless? As soon as I have some.
Yep. Would you like to give us any clues yeah. on how we're going to make clan warfare less pointless?
LSK says, what, in your opinion, is the funniest image in KOL? I don't know what the funniest image in KOL is.
Some of my favorites haven't been rolled out yet.
Those bugs.
With your new work.
I was happy with the way that turned out. I wasn't sure it was going to work. I wasn't sure if it was going to be obvious at all at that scale.
I like the elementary penguin quite a bit, and all of the Penguin Mafia stuff.
Hogula says, how would you feel about a choice adventure in the Dungeons of Doom where you stumble on and zap a wand of wishing and can get a few different items from it? Be a good way to put in a Dungeons of Doom shirt, a gray dragon scale mail or something, if you feel so inclined. I don't know. Like, the Dungeons of Doom are already pretty content rich as far as a zone goes, and we could keep putting in new NetHack references until we had a reference to every single thing that existed in NetHack, and that zone would just be 10 times the size of the entire rest of the game. But I don't know that
would be NetHack.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a good idea. Hogula says, the antique helmet grants serious spooky resistance because it's hard to see out of it, but the makeshift turban gives only so-so spooky resistance despite blinding you entirely. Just saying. Yeah, it's different. The extra level comes from the fact that it makes it really difficult to hear inside the helmet, too, because of the echoes. Although that would actually make things spookier, because it's all creepy.
Unless there were spookier things going on outside than were echoing around in your head.
I see.
Yeah. We give this serious thought. I mean, it's well known that, like, pulling the covers over your head when you're a kid protects you from spooky monsters to some degree, but not as much as if your covers had been made out of, say, silver.
Right. That would make it hard to sleep. Your covers could be made out of silver in the same way that stainless steel scarf hanging on the wall. They could be woven out of silver.
Right.
Which, that would prevent you from all but the tiniest of werewolves. But really, I mean, if werewolves are small enough to enter your bloodstream, that's really the most terrifying werewolf of all. You know, like the werewolves that cause chlamydia.
Remember, kids, always wash your hands so you don't get chlamydia wolves.
The D-Virginizer says, just curious if you guys have been following the PvP minis thread. I have. It's been interesting. Although, the PvP minis thread, it's pulling out mini games that I think if anything is ever going to happen that makes me genuinely excited about PvP, it's going to be something that is very different from PvP as it exists now. It's what I really like is the kind of ping pong thing that I was talking about the other day. Like, we should talk about this, off the air, because I kind of like this idea. But the idea that what PvP is you go to, you break your stone and it gives you access to the, like, PvP training dojo where there are 10 different contests, right? 10 different things. You learn to play Tiddlywinks, you learn to, race horses or something. I mean, there are 10 different, basically, just mini games that we make up that you do things in-game. You do things in the course of regular gameplay, and you get rewarded by earning ranks in those skills.
Uh-huh.
And then your ranks in those skills are what are compared. You know, there's also another just sort of overall thing where you earn, greater likelihoods of being able to pick one of your mini-games or whatever, like playing to your strengths or whatever. And that, if one strategy becomes totally overwhelming because it's easier to do than the other strategies, and so, everybody always has their Tiddlywinks maxed out or whatever, then that imbalance creates an opportunity for you to overthrow them, right? Because you just focus on some other game. If they decayed over time and they were designed such that you could only really max out three or four of them, but they either, you know, there were, you know, pairs that worked at each other's expense or whatever, and the thing is, I think that there is this desire for people to get better at a game the longer that they've played. And there is also this desire for people to be able to be competitive despite not having been around forever, right? So people are against the sort of what have been termed the perma-cumulative mini-games, like the White Canadian consumption or whatever, which the idea there that's been on deck forever and I just keep not getting around to doing it is that those would be rolling counts starting at St. Sneaky Pete's Day. Like, whoever has drunk the most White Canadians since St. Sneaky Pete's Day wins the White Canadian drinking contest instead of, you know, the guy who drank a million of them 2 years before you started playing, and so now you're just never going to beat him, even if you drink nothing but them every day. So building that in, rather than, you know, faking the rules on that minigame, but having something that works like that, where basically being dedicated for a couple of months will put you on sort of statistically equal footing with people who've been dedicated for a long time, but they're going to be shrewder and more knowledgeable than you, so that's how.
Yeah.
That's how long-term play gives you the advantage. And it's hard to design something like that. It's really hard to design something like that that's also satisfying and you know, fits into our game and is cool and makes at least some kind of narrative sense that we can make up. You know, which is why PvP has never been something that we really focused on, because it was... Yeah, I don't know.
I like the idea of having to go adventure, say, and establish places in the kingdom to up your PvP rank, rather than, like, here are 10 minigames, and if you click this button enough times, you'll be good at one to always win it.
Right.
So having to choose to play suboptimally to be a good PvP player.
Yeah.
Choices, man.
Or, you know, trying to balance optimal play with being just good enough at PvP to be able to do it and get the benefits that it, you know, gives you.
Yeah.
I mean, I want it to be something that you can focus on if you want to, but that you can also do to a certain extent casually while you're just playing the game. Mm. You know, so it's like. Kiss from a Roz, or Kiss from a Rose. I think when I was at the doctor's office the other day, that song was playing on the radio, and I hadn't heard it in years. And it reminded me of being at your house, and, like, Chris Carrillo being all into that song.
Huh. I never owned that song.
No, I know. But somebody was like, all of your drama...
Spectacular
friends.
Choir
were
people
like
loved that song because it had high notes.
The thing about being around your friends is that you don't have to own an album to hear a goddamn song all the time, because they'll just sing it for no reason,
yeah,
whether it's appropriate or not.
Play it on the piano, and yeah.
Yeah.
If only I had some popcorn, says the humorous t-shirt should be made available to people who ascended after St. Sneaky Pete's Day. Why? Am I missing something about that?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, because I can't see making it available to anybody ever again, really.
Right.
Or the next time that Sneaky Pete's Day and Cinco de Mayo are on the same day.
Hogula says, Weapon of the Pasta Lord and Sauce Geyser are pretty damn similar. The only differences are that Sauce Geyser costs 5 MP more, is elemental, and has a somewhat smaller base, i.e. non-scaling. They'll be different.
Oh, yes.
Smaller base damage range, says. In order to give the skill some more distinction, how would you feel about making the weapon of the Apostle Lord have a chance of stunning your opponent and making Sauce Geyser have a chance of healing a caster? There's some stuff... We've been doing a lot of tweaking to Sorcerer stuff, and we will probably... We'll probably be looking at Apostomancer stuff over the course of this sort of current NS13 burn. And, yeah. Pogulus also suggests some things to do with jalapeno and habanero, but we've got stuff going that I think is pretty okay right now in testing on dev, and I don't think there are any really serious objections with it. Bobulus says,
hey, first-time caller, I've tried to introduce several friends to the game, but the ones who liked it were thrown when they got to the naughty sorceress and didn't have all the combat items and such that they needed. Maybe for the newbies, a few hints in the tutorial would be nice. At least some clues that a Wand of Nagamar is needed. P.S. I'm annoyed that Hogulus is a frequent radio caller because I keep hearing my username and getting distracted when I listen. We've tried with the fortune cookies to clue in the just really, you know, the really just sort of horrible, completely unclued things that are required to beat the sorceress. Because it really, the problem is, the bigger the game gets, the harder that quest gets for right. somebody who's not getting spoilers without us doing anything. I think that, I don't know, probably another, like, there's already all these, pardon me, special cases in the fortune cookies for the sorceress fight. And, we might could do a little better clueing there, because Riff says, does the tutorial give you a fortune cookie? Yeah, the tutorial does give you a fortune. I think it gives you 3 fortune cookies, actually, and tells you where to buy them if you want them.
So, yeah. I always said before that there was no excuse for not having played around with every item that you got in the game, but that was 1,000 items ago.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
if you know enough to put together the wand and use it in combat, you'll get enough clues that when you lose the first time, you'll be able to go back and get it. But that's only if you make that weapon and equip it, even though it's low power, and use it until you see it do one of its special attacks. So, yeah.
You know what we could do is we could, you know, we could have a guild quest to get the wand, you know, at the end of all the guild quests, you know, so it wouldn't be like something that would require you to do it for you know, a regular Ascension run, but somebody, I feel like somebody who was playing without spoilers and got to the Naughty Sorceress on their own probably did all the guild quests.
Yeah.
You know, so once you had completed all of the guild quest lines, they could give you a quest that was like, you know, in order to defeat the Naughty Sorceress, you're going to need this item, which, I mean, that makes it less of a puzzle, you know, but I feel like making the flea market searchable by category pretty much solves the spoilers for needed for tower monsters thing. Because once you figure out that you need a specific combat item to beat them, most of them, I feel like, though I still don't think the bowling cricket makes any sense, I feel like, you know, most of them, if you encountered the monster, you knew you needed a specific combat item, you'd just go to the flea market and search the combat items. Right. You know, and then you would at least, because there aren't that many combat items. There's a bunch, but, you know. I mean, alternatively, I would not mind completely redoing the Sorcerer's Quest.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that...
You wouldn't mind, but we never would.
Yeah.
And we should fix what we can, and I do think that some of those monsters that made perfect sense to me when I put them in probably don't make any sense at all. Like, the leap in logic for the Chaos Butterfly is one that I very easily made, but that a lot of people seem to have trouble making.
Yeah.
And the easel just isn't fair.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny, but it's not fair. If we could maybe revamp some of those to make them a little more obvious what you need.
If they could be written... If the descriptions had clues in them, you know, then, like...
I mean, like, the ice cube you'd never get unless you had used that combat item and seen what it did.
Right.
And if you had only used it from your inventory, you'd have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should just change them to, have to be hit with some kind of elemental damage.
I mean, that we lose a big chunk of the gameplay there, right? If we, I mean, the thing is, they're not... I wonder how satisfying that is as a design element. I mean, I honestly feel like a lot of what we did in the Sorcerer's Tower, we were limited by the mechanics that we had available to us, and we were kind of out of ideas at a lot of those times. I mean, at the same time, I don't want them to just be like, you know, go kill 10 orcs, and then you get past this section, you know. I mean, it's fine for us to have some just generic-y, you know, RPG-style quests in there, but it's like the Sorcerer's Tower, the game switches from RPG mode to like adventure game mode in a really kind of obtuse way.
I do like the way that I like that mechanism. I like forcing people to use combat items.
Yeah, but because nobody ever uses combat items apart from those situations, though. But that's also kind of shooting us in the foot because people won't have used those combat items. You know what we could do is we could alter those descriptions such that the more times that they beat you, the more and more obvious clues you got. When they killed you, if only you had some sort of round, jagged piece of metal that you could cut this finger with. Maybe the kind that you got from, a tin can or something. I mean, I don't know.
Invisiclues. That is a kind of interesting idea. That's one place where you know somebody is going to encounter a specific monster at a specific point.
Right.
And putting Invisiclues into the monster description would be kind of cool. At the very least, if somebody then complained, we could ding them for not reading text.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like the Metal Gear Solid when you're fighting the Psychomantis, so if you kick your ass so many times, the commander just phones you up and says, swap your controller to the other port.
Gleeb says Daria or Beavis and Butthead.
Daria.
What?
Daria was excellent.
Okay, I guess if you were comparing the cartoon to the cartoon, right? But
yeah.
The thing that I liked about Beavis and Butthead was the videos. That was why I liked Beavis and Butthead. And that, you could say Beavis and Butthead or Mystery Science Theater 3000, but you can't say Beavis and Butthead or The Simpsons, because to me, Beavis and Butthead is more like Mystery Science Theater 3000 than it is like The Simpsons.
I mean, just for the amount of times I laughed in an episode or how into a story arc I got, say, Daria. And, I mean, Daria took itself a little more seriously to the point where it was a cartoon. Beavis and Butthead, really, that wasn't the point, like what they did in any given episode. So, I like Daria, though. They still won't put them on DVD because they use too much music and they would have to license it all.
I mean, that's why I can't get what I want out of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Which, that's really aggravating to me. Because people are going to get that stuff, right? It's just going to be a giant pain in the ass. It's going to be BitTorrented, rips of VHS tapes that people find, and somebody could be making some money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah, it just sucks that if they put out a DVD that had, say, 20 episodes, they'd have to purchase the individual rights to each of those 20 videos and end up with people asking for so much that they had to pay them more than they could sell the set for. And so these people have this idea that it's better to not get any money than to not get what they're asking for.
You would think
it's very bizarre.
You would think that if anybody had any pull in the music industry, that it should be MTV. But then you would think that MTV had something to do with music,
right?
Anymore, and you'd be wrong. Naked Jew says, please also upload tonight's show promptly for those of us who have to leave partway through. Oh, and play that Alanis cover of My Humps again.
No. I've already chosen our outgoing music.
Oh, you have?
I actually don't have that MP3 unless it got stuck on the computer from you. Oh, yeah, from the show where you played it 7 times.
Right. I only played it 3 times.
Got hyperbolated.
Bob Muffin says, when you were younger, what was your least favorite subject in school?
Anatomy.
I never took anatomy.
Yeah. I can tell because you didn't immediately say anatomy.
Yeah. Mr. Fenderson. I enjoyed
the classes in school. Maybe
did you have to take Arizona history? Because that was pretty tedious.
I liked Arizona history. Who did you have?
D'Alessio.
Yeah, that guy was a douchebag. I had Mr. Frank, who was just a really... Like, traffic school was fun when Mr. Frank taught it, because he was also the traffic school instructor there. Like, Riff says he only remembers the names of, like, five teachers. I'm pretty sure... All right, kindergarten was Mrs. Easton, then Mrs. Wolf, Mrs. Breer, Mrs. Teague, Mr. Slover, Mrs. Kincaid, Mr. Wood, and then seventh grade is when I started going to multiple classes, and so a lot of those people I don't remember. But, I remember most of my high school teachers' names, though. like I said, it wasn't the class part of school that I didn't like. It was the, you know, not ever having sex part, I guess. Or, you know, more than two friends.
I didn't even get, I had Mr. D'Alessio as a teacher, and I still didn't get laid.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Mr. D'Alessio was a small dude with a giant double chin and always looked vaguely greasy, and somehow all of the girls that we all wanted to date, he had sex with.
Did he get fired for that?
Yeah. Very fired. He got caught because he took one of them through the McDonald's drive-thru. They're like, why are you riding in his car? Like, oh, he's my boyfriend.
And that's,
they went.
Yeah. Wow. That's, that in my mind is the time when, you know, sorry, but you're not smart enough to not get just buried in a shallow grave out in the desert, you know? It was fun while it lasted, but really, I'm just not robbing the world of anything by doing this.
Somebody linked to the YouTube video XKCD thing. I think the funniest quote is not that it was a soundstage on Mars, but the, ooh, don't think we went to the moon, why not tell Louis Armstrong to his face?
Enter the Wumpa says, Jonathan Colton, I know he did that neat zombie song, but what else has he done? Should I like him? Tell me what to think, Asymmetric. Also, could you play some of his other music at the break or after the show? That would be cool. I have to say that I have not been terribly impressed with anything that I've heard out of Jonathan Colton.
Have you heard Re Your Brains, though?
No.
Okay. Because that's the best of them, is the Office Space zombie kind of song. Which is... Yeah, that was hilarious. Some of it's hit or miss. I have the podcast, so I have 10 or 20 tracks, and there are maybe 8 or 9 that I'll listen to over and over, but those I do listen to over and over, because they're funny. And Jick wasn't too fond of Baby Got Back, though.
Yeah.
That cover.
Yeah, no.
And I really like
that. Who covered that?
That's Jonathan
Colton. Oh, that was Jonathan Colton? Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I mean, most of his stuff is just original songs that happen to be kind of weird.
Didn't he do a version of an Alanis Morissette song recently as kind of a response to that? I think he did. Somebody did an acoustic cover of You Oughta Know.
Huh.
And it just wasn't... I mean, it's just not good. Ponjo says, so, guys, do you have Super Paper Mario for the Wii? I'd like to know your opinion on the new battling system as compared to older Paper Mario games. I finished Super Paper Mario 3 or 4 days ago, and the last half of it was just a chore. Like, I think that it was kind of a failure as a game. I was looking forward to it. I was really excited about the idea of a new Paper Mario game, and it just, I'm not going to say that it, like, George Lucas'd its legacy, but it's, I don't know. Paper Mario 2 was kind of like a remake of Paper Mario 1 as opposed to a new game, so I would have hated to see a Paper Mario 3 that was just more of the same.
Right.
And where can you go, really? You know, I mean... You go to
the third dimension!
You've got the mythos already pretty much laid out, but... Yeah. It was too much of an RPG to be a good platformer.
No, it was too much of a bad platformer to be a good platformer. And then it was too light of an RPG to be, you know, really compelling in that regard. Like, I didn't have any interest at all in continuing to explore it after I beat it, and that was something that I really relished about the earlier games, right? You know, and yeah. There's not enough to it. You know, the fact that there, you don't, it's an RPG, but you don't have any equipment. You know, you don't. I don't know. It suffers from an oversimplified control scheme. For instance, it becomes awkward instead of easy because there are too few buttons. But yeah, I was disappointed.
I haven't played it much, but I probably won't now, having heard that.
You can try it. I mean, if you enjoy it, then, you know, for the kind of people who enjoy this sort of game, this is the sort of game that they will enjoy.
I'm just wondering when the hell they're going to put Super Mario Galaxy out. Because the... Yeah. I've seen some videos of finished gameplay, and it just looks incredible. Like, it... Not the graphics are that great, but it looks like it's a really well-made platformer, which would be nice.
They lost me with Super Mario Sunshine. It just...
Yeah, there's no nozzle dude in this one.
Yeah, which is fine, but I... Although, you know, I'm the wrong person to talk to about this because I did not like Mario 64. We've had this discussion before a bunch of times. You began to like it when you realized that the primary enemy in the game was the camera.
Right.
And part of the game was fighting against the camera, and I just, no.
It wasn't as bad as I remembered when I played it on a port. But it's still just, it also bugs me that there aren't any good N64 ports, or emulators out. Because they're, even the best one that I have, which is the best one out there, you still get weird stuff going on with frame rate and things not loading right and not interacting right. And, you know, maybe the reason why I like all these N64 games so much is because I haven't gotten to play them in a long time. But even playing them in slightly broken form is gratifying. Hmm. For $3,000, you can have a portable N64. And somebody actually stripped the guts out of one and made it into this, like,
handheld thing?
Yeah, Dreamcast controller-looking handheld.
Huh. I kind of want one of those Atari 2600 handhelds, but I... I'm looking through questions to see. A Naked Jew says, I've been trying to figure out which show of yours had the username offensiveness debate. Any idea?
Which show didn't? I mean, there were a couple.
Yeah, but there was one big one, right? There was one where we spent, like, the first hour just kind of arguing about whether or not it was okay to have a username with nigger in it. And then I was all like, but Michael Richards says it's okay. Did you see that South Park?
No.
It was... I don't know how I feel about the South Park. Like, I think they said it best about themselves in the Family Guy episode where they're all like, well, at least it's not all preachy and up its own ass trying to be all full of messages.
Yeah.
That was another thing that really bothered me about Super Paper Mario is that the game was just completely up its own ass. There was a point where one of the things that you have to do to advance the game is to sit and run on a goddamn hamster wheel for 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I was like, there's gotta be a trick to getting out of this. Because I know that it's possible to get past this puzzle by running on this fucking wheel for forever in terms of a video game. Sitting there running on a goddamn wheel for 5 minutes.
What was the control mechanism for running on the wheel?
I mean, holding right
or
left. I mean, it wasn't like... Yeah, Riff says he put a rubber band around the controller, which, you know, like... Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
There's another thing where, in order to get something from some guy, all right. So you find one set of three blocks that you have to hit in a specific order to get a door to open, and you're like, oh, okay. I'll just hit these blocks. I'll hit these blocks in this, you know, just in every order possible until the door opens, and you get through it. And then at the end of that, you find another set of three blocks. So you're like, oh, I'll try this again. And then just, you know, nothing you do works. So it turns out you have to go back to town where there's this guy who will tell you the sequence that you need to hit those blocks. But first, you have to go to the text entry screen and say, please. And then you have to go to the text entry screen again and say, please. And then you have to go to the text entry screen again and say, please. And then you have to go to the text entry screen again and say, please. And then you have to go to the text entry screen one more time and say, please, so that he will give you the fucking 30-block sequence that you have to hit these three blocks in. And it's like, you assholes. I mean, it was funny, but it's funny in a it's funny like us doing something to our players. it's not funny when somebody does it to me. The thing is, I don't think that we do anything that just absolutely requires you to write something down to play the game, and I just did not want to have to do that. There were some other things too that I can't exactly remember, but just stuff where it's like, by the end, at least it wasn't as frustrating, because at first, like the hamster wheel thing, I was like, I've got to be missing something. I've got to be missing something because they can't possibly want you to do this. That's just bad. But later on, it was like, oh, you know, just because this seems like it's going to be mind-numbingly tedious to do doesn't mean that it's not the actual solution. Hmm. Now that I know that, I'm armed with, you know,
preemptive disgust.
Yeah, he does say. At least it wasn't as bad as you thought that it was going to be. But yeah, anybody who's played it,
that's
will
pretty
understand.
Faint praise, though.
Yeah, it is. Rentboy says, please make the Plexi Pinky Ring useful in NS13. All right. I would like to find out which show had the username offensiveness debate, because I'd like to listen to that again. That'd be awesome. I don't remember when it was. We were in the office.
Apparently, Fifor's multi, I Love Jews and I Want to Buy Them Jam, was created during that show.
Oh.
So once he's out of
once
he's out of Valhalla, we'll be able to tell.
Right. Well, I mean, we would be able to tell, I think, if we looked at the database. Well, we would know what Unix timestamp it was. Oh, yeah. So, a naked Jew, if I figure that out today, just because I'm curious, then I will let you know. Mazapan says, I spent 4 hours yesterday trying to open a sunken chest. Could you give a helpful clue for this puzzle? I'm going to take a leaf from the Super Paper Mario designer's book and just say, keep trying. Jamaican Castle says, decapitating stasis. Implement the World of Warcraft Enrage system. In this case, monsters get marginally more powerful each round. Yeah, we thought about that.
My favorite idea was having combat cap at anywhere between 5 and 30 rounds. Just every combat has a different length to the monster getting sick of you and kicking you out. So you would want to kill them as fast as possible.
The Logman says, hey, Jick, why the change from scrolls to totems? Is this part of the NS13, or is this part of NS13 / some conspiracy? It's both. It's part of NS13 and some conspiracy. Rentboy says, what's your guys' theories behind making it almost impossible to run lots of buffs without stasis in hardcore? I mean, honestly, to be frank, didn't we earn the buff enough by doing a hardcore run? What am I missing here? What you're missing is that you have earned the option to use the buff. Should every character just get a native MP regeneration every round of X, where X is the number of ascensions that they've done? No. You know, I mean, what you didn't earn was the right to play a game where a level 1 player can defeat a level 1 million monster without even trying. Because I'm hoping that you weren't trying to earn the right to play a game that sucks ass and is badly designed. Bezman says, would you ever reset the leaderboards if new quests and nerfs made prior records impossible? Well, the leaderboards roll, so that would never actually happen. UberWookie says, hey, I agree. I totally love more HP MP regen per turn equipment, but if you aren't a Mistsign, you're sort of SOL for the major stuff. Well, you're SOL for the major stuff that's easy to get.
I just find all of this vastly entertaining. Just like the way that what I'm hearing is I have a strategy for playing this game, and my strategy is not pitched so much to this game as to the platonic ideal of the game I want to be playing with my optimum strategy. So could you please alter your game until it more closely fits the strategy that I want to use instead of forming a strategy to play this game? Maybe that's an unfair characterization, but that's what it sounds like.
Oh, man. You know what I didn't talk about on the radio, and I don't think I talked to you about? I got a letter from AOL's lawyers.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
What's awesome is that it was a letter sent to Network Solutions, because our domain registration is private, right? So, because I don't want people to just be able to find my house by doing it, whoiskingdomofloathing.com. So, AOL's law firm, like the law firm that represents AOL, sent a piece of registered mail to Network Solutions at the end of January, which they signed for and then promptly delivered to me in electronic format 4 months later.
Wow.
So, like, 3 days ago, I got this letter that said, please respond by February 9th. And I'm like, well, fuck. So I called them, got a call back the next day, and basically the letter was like, we're investigating your use of our client's trademarked phrase, KOL. And you know, like, here's all these questions. And most of the questions were just entirely not applicable to us. Like, what is the total amount of money you have spent advertising using the trademark, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when did you start using the trademark? And so I told them, like, they filed the trademark on the letters KOL sometime in 2003. Yeah. I don't know if we have prior usage on it, because I don't know when the what is KOL link went up or whatever. Like, I don't know what's gonna come of this. I asked him informally, like, you know, would you recommend that I get a lawyer at this point? And he said, you know, you're not going to need to, no matter what happens, unless, you know, they want you to do something and you want to fight it.
Right.
And, you know, so, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. If they would just be like, you know, don't publish anything that says KOL on it.
Right.
We could probably do that. I mean, even though I know that it's retarded and that, you know, the person that I am just does not want to bend to that kind of bullshit,
yeah.
Does not want to acknowledge that that is the world that we live in, it would be irresponsible of me to put the game at risk by going to war with somebody who just, you know, because they have more money than me, they sort of own the law.
Yeah, the law in most cases tends to be, if there's not a chance that, if you're not trying to masquerade as their use, and there's not a reasonable chance that somebody could mistake our use for their use, then it's fine.
The thing is, I think that if you do a Google search for KOL, we come up first, and then second is America Online's KOL, a fun place for kids to play games online. So they could say, we're trying to represent ourselves as a fun place for kids to play games online, because, you know, turns out we are. And I would argue probably a more fun place for kids to play games online than whatever bullshit that they're... I mean, the fact that it's been around for however many years it has, and, you know, really, nobody's heard of this? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to ask us to do. If they say, we want you to get rid of the phrase KOL on your homepage, sure. I mean,
yeah.
If they say, we want you to stop having your customers make web pages where they refer to you as KOL, I will say, you know, as soon as you give me those omnipotence pills, I'll get right on that. But, yeah. So, I mean, I'm not worried about it. It's mostly just kind of funny that came around. I have to say that I'm a little worried about the radio station, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the radio station could change its name and would not lose any listeners, right? As long as we were linking to whatever the new... I know. Let's call it WKOL.
We know our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, we do know our listeners.
The thing is, they... So the main, yeah, I guess it is. For a while they were going for Radio Free Loathing as the new name, but it looks like, and the other two are KOLIsrael.com radio.
Yeah, yeah, which is, yeah. They bought KOL.com, which kind of sucks, because I would have liked to have had that. I looked at it, noticed that it didn't expire for a long time, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just not going to be able to get it. They looked at it, said, hey, we can throw, you know, $100 million at this guy if that's what he wants for it, and got it. So, I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that it's going to amount to anything.
I think the worst thing that could happen is we'd have to stop selling the KOL stickers that say
the ovals. No, I totally hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
But, I mean, that wouldn't be a huge loss. I don't think we've sunk too much money in them.
Yeah, no, I mean, we bought some, and then we've been selling them. I mean,
So, folks, if you buy them all before we have to stop selling them...
Get them while they're hot.
And it is unfair, because I know that... I do feel strongly that we had it first.
Yeah.
And that's really not going to matter, because to say we had it first, we'd have to go into court and prove it.
Right, and we would have to have trademarked it, and then we would have to put a fucking TM next to it everywhere that we ever used it, which I just,
I hate using TM unironically.
I don't ever want that. That's why I've never trademarked anything. I mean, everything that we've done is copyrighted to us, and we are totally protected by law from people, like, you know, trying to steal our shit and pretend to be us, but, you know, trademark law is there to protect people who use it, and, you know, I'm one of those people who doesn't feel that it's reasonable to trademark a sequence of three letters, for instance, but, you know, I'm not one of those people in charge of the way the law in this country works, so...
Yeah. Well, we better get off the microphone and get iSpeculum in. So,
but I'm having such fun.
I know it's good that we settled into our groove. 10 minutes. No, I think the whole show went as fast can be. So I'll be on tomorrow, broadcasting from sunny Green Valley from my laptop. And
going to Green Valley tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is it actually a Green Valley?
It's not at all.
It's sort of just a brown, flat expanse.
Right. It's a valley. It's not so green. All right. Oh, I'm out of here, folks. We'll talk to you all later.
And we'll see
you.
I drive these scrubs crazy. I do it on the daily. They treat me really nicely. They buy me all these ices, Dolce and Gabbana, Fendi and Bandana, Karen, maybe Sharon. All their money got me wearing fly. Drunk off my arm. What you gonna do with all that ass? All that ass inside them jeans. I'm gonna make you scream. Make you scream. Make you scream. They say I'm really sexy. The boys, they wanna sex me. They always stand there next to me, always dancing next to me, trying to feel my hump hump, looking at my lump lump. You can look, but you can't. can't touch it. If you touch it, I'ma start some drama. You don't want no drama. No, no drama. No, no, no drama. Make you work, make you work.